Good afternoon, everyone. In the interest of time, we're going to go ahead and get started. I think we've got pretty much everyone we need for a quorum. So welcome to TCC Technical Coordinating Committee, October 20th, 2022. We'll start with some introductions. If we could start on this end, please, with Bob.
Afternoon, Bob Miley, Town of Thunderbolt. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Les Fussell, City of Richmond Hill.
Michelle Strickland, City of Savannah.
Pamela Bernard, Chatham County Engineering.
Ashley Goodrich, Chatham Area Transit.
Mark Denmark, Savannah Airport Commission.
And, oh, was...
Oh. Mark and Mark Savannah Airport Commission.
Excellent. Thank you. And who do we have online? Anyone? Any voting members? We'll start with voting members, please.
Yeah, Teresa Contana in Effingham County.
Robbie Cottle, GIA Planning.
Casey Langford, also GIA Planning.
Joe Longo, Federal Highways.
Welcome and thank you for joining us. Do we have anyone else? Okay. So do we have, I guess, some people that are just listening in that don't want to introduce themselves? Is there anyone else that wants to introduce themselves?
This is Pamela Everett, I'm Assistant Executive Director, Operations Compliance of the MPC.
Hi, this is Matt Bilski, University of Georgia.
Executive Director, MPC, MPO.
And I think somebody got covered up there. Well, who was the last person on the phone?
Matt Bilski, University of Georgia.
And Michael Blakely, Chatham County Engineering.
This is Christy Leavitt with Department of Transportation.
Javier Hanswebb, FTA.
Felix Santiago, University of Georgia.
All right, thank you and welcome everyone. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. The first thing is the approval of the agenda. Did anyone have any questions or any changes that they wanted to make to the agenda? If not, at this time, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Madam Chairman, I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second, Michelle Strickland.
All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Okay, so we're moving on to the action items. The first action item is approval of the meeting minutes from the last meeting, which was August 18th, 2022. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to read through those and send any questions or comments to the MPO staff, but does anyone have any questions at this time? All right, if not, then I will request a motion to approve the August 18th meeting minutes.
So moved, Michelle Strickland.
Second, Melanie Wilson.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Are there any opposed? Motion passes. That's the first one. Second one is an easy one, and that's approval of the, hopefully it's an easy one, 2023 meeting calendar. So I think it's pretty straightforward. I think that was attached, and she's also got it there. Are there any questions or comments about that? At this time, I will then request a motion to approve the 2023 Core MPO meeting calendar.
I make a motion that we approve the 2023 calendar. Sorry. I didn't know if anybody was talking about it.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to the slightly more exciting one. I'm sure this will be interesting. The Y230 call for projects. Jasmine, good morning. Thank you. Or good afternoon. Sorry.
Hear me now? Good. All right. As you all know, we just recently accepted all of the applications for the Y230 funds. For this round of call for projects for fiscal year 2023-2027, we received 13 applications. Only 12 were eligible. So we have a lot of projects to go through here today. And also the period was open from August to September as well. And we are looking to rank those on today. So the next thing I would do is present the scores to you all. Also, if you see here on the PDF, you can see the listed projects. I'm not going to go through everyone, but you can see the listed projects that were submitted and the amount of funding that was requested from them as well. And we also have the list of eligible versus ineligible. And our recommendations for this is to review the compiled scores discussed and take action regarding on so far as recommendations. And we will also share this with the CAC, ACAT, and ask the NPO board to officially approve.
Jasmine, can you go over why the Tybee project was not eligible, just for the record?
So my understanding, this project was ineligible because the funding request did not meet the minimum. And I believe the minimum was 200,000, and it was like right below that.
Okay, I just wanted to us to have that on record of what the minimum thresholds were.
Also, the Los Rato Creek project already has the CRRS funds, not CRS, HIP funds allocated to it already, so it really doesn't need this Y230 funds.
Okay, the only question was the HIP funds, did those have to get shifted because of time or no?
One of those, the HIP funds on Bull River was shifted to Project Drain, remember? Yeah, but this one, the funds expires in September 2023, but we still have some time. So they already have that funds. Yeah.
So So here we have the averages of each of the projects, and I also have the associated ranking with them. So we also had, I believe, Jackie from Chatham County who also submitted, but we can only accept one from Chatham County, and that's we accepted Pamela Bernard's. So I did just take the liberty of adding hers in so I could show with and without, and there was just like a slight difference with her scores. So I put together a ranking snapshot here to kind of display what does the ranking look like, the averages and rankings look like with and without. If we were to consider Jackie's submission, we will have a tie for number two, and that's Chatham County State Route 204 access study and Chatham County I-95 at Airways Ave interchange improvements. If we do not consider Jackie's input, we do have a ranking of 1 through 12.
Can you show the 1 through 12, what happens to that tie in that case?
I believe that would be...
You said it, with Jackie's numbers, it was a tie, right?
Yeah, with her numbers, if you all would like to consider that, we'll make a tie for the ranking. If not, we do have a ranking of 1 through 12 without that consideration.
But the tie was for, you said, was for the access study and then the I-95 Airways?
Yes.
So without that, how does it rank those two?
How does it rank those two?
Yeah.
So the Chatham County I-95 Airways Ave came in at number two, and Chatham County State Route 204 came in number three.
Yeah, I think in the interest of Chatham County, I think we're better off with the I-95 Airways Avenue is a higher for the county. That's a higher ranked project.
Okay. So, well, if everyone agrees, we could just stick with the Chatham County scores the final without Jackie's rankings. And as you can see here, I will just go over those if everyone's okay with that.
Are there any concerns?
It's really not difference. I mean, other than the fact that you have a tie of two, I think my recommendation would be to not include Jackie's scores and just go with the ranking 1 through 12.
Okay. The reason we want the TCC members to rank the scores because Jackie now works for Chatham County. So we did mention during our emails that if we send to multiple people in the same organization, please just send us one coordinated set. So like Michelle, Stephen, Stephen, and Barry might have three separate, but they only sent us one score, the final score. So Jackie should have coordinated with Pam to send us one set of scores. So, we can only count one.
I think that's an administrative.
Jackie.
That's really an administrative action.
Well,
Jackie gave us a lot of insight.
Okay. I didn't know either. So I didn't know it got sent to Jackie. So I didn't know to coordinate. I'm sorry. But anyway, yeah, I think, like I said, Chatham County, the Airways Avenue is more important.
Yeah.
But just to kind of go over the rankings 1 through 12, for number one, we have the City of Savannah I-516 at CS 1503 Durant Ave. Number two is Chatham County I-95 at Airways Ave interchange improvements. Number three, Chatham County State Route 204 access study. For number four, we have Chatham County I-16 at State Route 17. Number five, we have Chatham Area Transit State of Good Repair Fleet Replacement. For number six, we have Chatham County State Route 25 Corridor Study. Number seven is Chatham County President Street Railroad Crossing Elimination Project. For number eight, we have the City of Tybee Island State Route 26 US 80 over the Bull River. Number nine, we have City of Savannah Tie to Town / Middle Ground Road Phase. For number 10, we have Chatham County Chevis Road Improvement Project. For number 11, we have Chatham County Garrod Ave. And for number 12, we have Chatham County Green Island Multipurpose Trail. Are you all okay with these rankings? Any questions, comments? And again, I know it's a lot of data here on the screen, so just.
Yeah, well, no, that's fine. I was just gonna say in the past, we had different criteria, it seems like, for studies versus projects, and this time we didn't, so I don't know. It was up my imagination. Did we have different storing criteria last time? Yeah.
There was a one-time thing.
Oh, okay.
So studies get rented separately.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
All righty.
Were you, Madam Chair, were they looking for a vote on this or?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I guess that's it. Sorry. I was
I'll make a
thinking
motion.
There would be more discussion on that, but I guess there's not really a whole lot to discuss. We've already got the number, so.
Okay. I think in the interest of time, probably Asia can present the rankings on 301. Because and the TCC will need to make recommendations on how to allocate the funds, because some of those projects apply for both funds. So like Girard Avenue and Travers Road, they might not get Y230, but they might get 301. So just based on what we just balance those out.
Okay, so let me ask you this: as far as the vote, are we voting just to go by these numbers, or do we have to actually vote on like specific monetary amounts for each project per year?
We need to vote on specific amount of money.
Okay. Do you guys have like a spreadsheet with all the the money? Okay. Because I know, you know, some of these were different years and that kind of thing too. So
that's why even if you rent the lower, you can still get money.
Right.
If in a year and nobody else applies for that money.
You got to, Waikato, you got to talk in the microphone, I guess, just so everybody can hear you. Okay, so you said we probably need to look at the 301 next and then look at the money, so see how it all falls out.
Yes, so we just want to make sure that we don't underutilize the money. So if some of those projects rank low, but they rank high on 301, they might get 301 money. So that they would not need the Z230 or something.
Okay, on this that we're looking at, the total in blue, is that what was requested?
Yes. So the total in blue is requested. Green is what is available, and then you have the balance. And it's also broken down by the fiscal year.
So if you go back to the bottom again for me, please. So it looks like the first year is 23. And so 23 and 24, we have enough money to give everybody what they wanted. Okay, so it's not till 25 that we have a shortage. Can you go scroll to the right there? Okay, so 2 years. So there's at least 2 years that we're short funds. Oh, wow, that's a bunch.
And also, I think we are using the current balance from the current TIP. So we are more certain about the fiscal 2023 and the 2024 money. So for the later years, 2025, 2026, and we just assume the historic figure that we normally get $4 million. But we are going to develop the new TIP next year. Probably GDI will give us more updated revenues. So I think we're going to get more than $4 million. So for this year, we would do the TIP amendments in December. That's for 2023 and the 2024. So we can focus on those 2 years. And then when we get the more updated revenues for the later years, and we would just revisit this ranking and then reallocate the funds.
Okay. Would you mind scrolling up? I'm just kind of curious to see where all the money is on these 2 years.
So you want to go back to 23, 24?
Oh, I did have a question about this. That $14 million and the $58 million. What project was that?
15.
Because was that Bull River? Because they were only. I noticed there was something about that. They were really only asking for right of way funds, not construction funds. Yeah, that is. It's Bull River, but they weren't asking for construction funds. I don't think. Just right of way.
Just right on.
Yeah, which would change, which would take all that out. Could you verify that, please?
Which one is that?
Bull River.
I have to go back and pull the.
If you look at the application, I can.
I believe it's line six under FY 26 and 25. So 26, line six, those two numbers she's referencing. She believes they were not putting in for construction money. They might have just put that information as requested. I'm not saying they did or didn't.
Is that the?
If you guys could check the application, please.
I don't see the name. Oh, yes, up here, Bull River. Oh, okay. Yes, they are actually only requesting. Yeah, so this one needs to be deleted. Delete. Okay. So that will make a lot of difference.
Oh, delete one more over. Wait, go back up. Delete the fifth that number.
So I guess what do we need to do next? You want to look at 301?
Look at fiscal 2023 and the 2024. Are we okay with allocating the funds to the projects and specifically?
It looks like everybody got what they asked for in 23 and 24. So there shouldn't be any issues. Does anyone have any concerns
Madam Chair,
about that?
I make a motion. We approve 23 and 24.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. So we're good for the Y-230 for fiscal years 23 and 24.
Yeah, let's do the Y-230 because Y-301.
Okay.
Because some of those, even if they can get the, well, we will see the balance.
Well, obviously, I mean, the money needs to come out of one or the other, but I mean, they don't need it. In some cases, we applied for the same thing twice because we weren't sure what we were going to get. So,
yeah, so we will see what the balance looks like for 301 before we make the final.
Yeah, because I think the 301 funds are harder or more specialized, right? So if we can get the 301, we're better off using the 301, right? And
yeah,
then
and then we can
releasing
the
230
projects.
Funds.
Yes.
Okay.
Can they be eligible for both? Meaning, like, all the money's been allocated, nobody has asked for anything more. I say we just roll with this and then go on to the other one, right?
Well, the only thing is, like I said, the 230 funds can be used for more things. Mm-hmm. Than the 301 funds. So if you're eligible for both and you can, and we have enough of the 301, we're better off paying for
what I'm saying
is 301 versus the 230.
We voted yes on this. We can always modify it later to take it back, right? Like we can roll on to the other one and approve that as well, correct?
Yes.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I'm just going to pull up the staff report very quickly. Okay, let me just start. So the Y-301 transportation alternatives funding was most recently authorized by Congress in 2021 as a set aside for the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program and provides funds to states and localities for transportation improvement projects. The call for projects can be conducted as needed if the priority projects with awarded STBG funds have been completed and additional funds become available. The expected available funds for this call for projects is about $2.9 million and will be allocated from fiscal year 2023 to fiscal year 2027. So we conducted our call for projects this year in August and September. And we received 5 applications. So we received 3 from Chatham County and 1 from City of Savannah. And we additionally received an application from Richmond Hill. It was after the deadline, but because there was a discrepancy in when the deadline was, We felt it was necessary to accept that application just in case anyone was confused about when the deadline was.
And we appreciate that very much.
So from screening the applications, we have deemed all of them eligible. And our recommendation is for the TCC to review the scores, discuss them, and take action regarding how the grant funding will be allocated. And so I'll just bring up the final scores. So there were a lot of scores that were within a hair of each other. Tied to Town was the highest scoring, closely followed by Chevis Road and Girard Avenue. Additionally, we also had Jackie's scores, but we removed them for the same reasons, but it actually didn't change the rankings at all. So the rankings are still the same. It just changed the average scores by a small amount. Are there any questions on this? No?
And yes. Are you saying that looking at this, looking at like number 14, you've got, yeah, there we go.
Yes.
So one has, did you use the scores for both projects with regards to the folks doing the rankings? Because I see one has, mm-hmm. like Jackie weighed in on one, but did she weigh in on the first one? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
She weighed in on all of the projects. It was just for the same reasons that we removed her scores from the Y230, we mm-hmm. also did it for the same reasons as 301. It was because she's also Chatham County, just like okay. Pamela is. But luckily, it didn't change the rankings at all, and it changed the averages just slightly. Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Okay, so looking at this then, should if you're not going to count her scores and it didn't change the weights, looking at how the scoring took place, should her scores be included then? I'm just trying to understand the consistency piece. At the top, you don't have her scores included. At the bottom, you do.
Yeah, it was just for information purposes that we received her scores as well, but we did have to remove them just because we have two scores from Chatham County, but we just want to show that, you know, we did receive them and they didn't change the rankings at all.
I think that for the policy group, we should just have
one
set of rankings.
Yeah.
It's going to confuse everybody with regards to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one too. It just should be whatever the recommendation is, just clean,
mm-hmm.
not the both.
So the recommendation is what I'm hearing is go sans Jackie on everything just
yeah.
to remove any conflict of interest.
So just pay attention to this top table here. I can actually remove. Yeah, just remove this one.
Just for the policy group. It's just, you know, as we're dealing with sending it to them and that's a different set of folks, it will get confusing. So it just would be cleaner to have a set of recommendations.
So do you have a spreadsheet for the money on this one also?
Yeah. The financial information right here. And I include
much we like spreadsheets.
I don't really like them very much. My eyes actually started hurting while looking at this one for a really long time. So there are 2 years where there is a positive balance. And that's fiscal year 2023, and then also fiscal year 2027, because no one applied for 2027 funds. But for 2024 and 2026, they were negative. And it looks like we also probably, and we don't receive funds for 2025. That's what I meant to say. Sorry.
Yeah, well,
24 we receive. Oh, zero.
It should build.
Can you scroll to the left so I know which, I know, I'm sorry, the other, mm-hmm. the other left, sorry.
Oh.
So we can see what those, what do the colors mean?
Oh, yes.
Numbers? Okay, so the total is, the green is the total that was requested.
Yes, that's the requested.
So then, okay.
Red is what is available. Okay. And I made a mistake earlier. It's actually fiscal year 2024 where we have zero available funds, but we did have some asking, some applications asking for funds in fiscal year 2024.
Okay, so just based off of this, have you guys already looked at this, and does, based off the money available, is this change anything on the Y230? That's what we need to know, I guess.
Because we received so many applications and then we actually got the scores at the last minute. So Jasmine and Asia have to stay until like 8 o'clock yesterday afternoon to compile all the scores.
Sorry.
So this is my first time to see these scores as well. So seems like the fiscal year 2023, we're balanced out. The 2024, you might need some Y230 money because it seems like 2024, you have a negative. But remember, we do have the positive in 2024 for the Y230. So probably we can use the Y230 money for one of these projects.
So rather than hashing out all the details now, can we just approve this and then for the, you know, for board recommendation, and then are you guys going to try to look at this a little more before next week, or should we just kind of put it off till later as far as figuring out exactly which pot of money the different projects are going to get?
We basically bought a week, so the policy committee is not meeting next week. They're meeting November 7th. Yeah. Well, so it buys us some time.
Okay, so time. I would say maybe the TCC recommendation is to approve the approve the recommended rankings and then allocation of funds, and with the assumption that the some Y230 money can be used to cover the fiscal 2024 one of these projects.
Right. So right, I agree. So we're going to approve this with the rankings, saying that this money would be used first, but if they've also requested money from the 230, if they don't get the 301, then they would get the 230.
Yeah, they would get the 230. Yes.
Is that everybody that okay with that?
Yeah.
Does that include even if the other projects, like I'm looking at, I can't scroll, so I'm really frustrated here. I can't move it. But,
can you send this out to everybody?
The funds in 2024, and I'm looking at somewhere around line 26, this area. Are those already included in the?
Don't worry. For now, don't worry about 2025, 2026, and 2027, because those revenues are based on historic figures. We might have more money because when we started a TIP development, we're going to get updated revenues, because these are like, we are showing $400,000 for each year for those 3 years. That's based on the historic figures. So we might have more actually. So when we start TIP development, we will revisit this list and see what additional money that we want to allocate to those projects. The thing that I have a question with is actually Richmond Hill, because for the Y301 projects, Chatham County is lab certified and City of Savannah is contingently lab certified, but Richmond Hill is not lab certified yet. But we did put in the menu that as long as you can get lab certified before the funds become available, that should be right. Fine. So you need to start to work with GDOT to get lab certified, because the first year you are requesting money is in 2024. So right. You actually have some time to get lab certified.
Yeah, and that's why I say I was looking at this in 2024, and I know that we've started the qualification. So
yes. Yeah.
No, we've already we've got the schedule.
Yeah.
Training schedule and everything.
So in that case, you should be fine. Yeah.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion. We approve 2023-2024 as written, and they can move the available funding from the previous source as needed and available. And we're utilizing the ranking score as presented by staff.
I'll second that. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes.
that's it for the action items. If we can move to the other business, the next item on the list is CATS micro transit project.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Ashley Goodrich from Chatham Area Transit, and we would like to present a small presentation for you today on a microtransit first mile, last mile implementation. Chatham Area Transit is starting our master transit plan and implementation strategies, and the first mile, last mile connectivity is a component of the master transit plan. This presentation today is for all comment and answers to any questions. Next slide. Microtransit is a smaller transit service provided where normal CAT bus may not be available or useful. Microtransit can be designed as a same day service as a demand response with similarities to CAT mobility. Our CAT mobility service is a countywide ADA complement to our fixed route mode. However, with CAT mobility, it is a next day scheduled service versus same day microtransit service. Next slide. So how does microtransit work? It is considered a mobility on demand. Challenges that it will solve have both advantages and disadvantages of the service. Disadvantages include a reliance on included technologies. Advantages are dynamic, flexible transit scheduling. Flexibility is key to scale up or down to match demand to the coverage areas that a mobility on-demand service can be designed for. Microtransit is typically set up by request on phone or mobile app. A dynamic routing program is instantly put into place with a rider pickup with shared ride transportation service at a drop-off location through the design of the microtransit mode. Next slide. In the example from our presentation, you may see on your screen, the blue line that you see on the map is our current CAT bus system. It is a quarter mile walk shed from each of our routes and our existing bus stop services. And for the area that you can see on the map, there are quite a few neighborhoods and local streets that our bus services are more than a quarter mile away in distance. Now, part of when we talk about our CAT mobility and our ADA complementary service, we typically look at these areas from a three-quarter mile perspective. However, we know through our research that before we can talk about a full mile or last mile connectivity, this quarter mile at a much shorter distance does not necessarily provide the coverage that we have in our that we need in our CAT services today. First mile, last mile connections allow customers to book an end-to-end transit trip if the fixed route is not within walking distance. Next slide, please. First mile to last mile connectivity can be helpful in areas that are inefficient. They are typically set up as a zone. They do not necessarily have a route. They can cross jurisdiction boundaries. They can cross neighborhood boundaries. The goal is for shorter walks to services or destinations, and typically microtransit is helpful for neighborhood densities that need a transportation service but have low ridership for traditional fixed route bus service. Questions that CAT staff are researching include, would Chatham Area Transit coordinate and drive this service through our current staffing? Would the service be contracted out to a secondary company? To be included in the master transit plan and implementation strategies will be a geozone areas and locations across all of Chatham County where we see that the connectivity from places that are driving growth and have a demand to places that we may not actually be in our service corridors as of yet. And something to point out for microtransit is that a TNC for transportation contracting is a transportation network company, such as an Uber or Lyft or VIA. These types of companies provide both the dynamic routing and scheduling that come as a component to microtransit, as well as can also provide drivers and contracted services. Next slide. As a connection service, the goal would be to connect riders to higher frequency fixed route corridor services. Flexible service alternatives during periods of low demand could be off-peak services and time of day. In terms of talking of a high peak and low peak from a time of day perspective, commutes for on-demand service hours, such as weekends, evenings, or late night, would enhance coverage as a lower cost per trip than perhaps our fixed route bus mode. Our goal is to have designated bus stops along CAT routes so that from these areas of coverage for first mile or the last mile to your home or destination, you may be able to go from your starting point destination to the designated CAT bus stop. All trips must take place within a specific service zone, start or end. And part of what we are looking at Chatham Area Transit is when you talk about a specific service zone, both the start or the end, where would that be? And also what landmarks would be within these zones? And that concludes our presentation for today. If there are any questions.
I've got a question. Are you factoring in the number of people that are being moved or displaced to areas that don't have direct service within your zone? Like they might have services downtown, but they're pushed like two zones over. Have you guys accounted for that? And if so, how?
One of the parts to the microtransit puzzle that we're looking at is we are looking at our countywide ADA numbers. Mm-hmm. Prior to COVID, we had a 15% increase year over year for three consecutive years in our scheduling for next day services. A majority of our service in the complementary ADA is still within a 3/4 mile corridor of our existing CAT routes. But we are each year seeing more demand in those areas where we do not have CAT fixed route service. From both a cost perspective in microtransit, the mileage can be quite high with a low passenger per hour. And we do want to make sure that we're accommodating a shared ride mode for this type of service whenever possible. If that answers your question.
It does, but I think that, and it's a question that we can talk a little bit more about offline, looking at development patterns and things that's going on within the community. And again, looking at the fact that there are a lot of folks that probably use the services that were closer into downtown, and they're being, you know, kind of pushed to areas off of 95, things of that nature. And because we still don't have transit and pooler, where some of the folks doctors are, how do you handle going into an area that does not have transit?
So for this mode, at least as a starting point, we are looking at it within our CAT special tax district in terms of where in jurisdictions across Chatham County we have service and don't have service. However, we are looking at our roadway and network connectivity, as well as the new housing and subdivisions and annexations that have come across the county. And that's because the annexations and build out build into our CAT transit service, and then also get to where we may have large coverage areas where the larger bus service really is not as compatible. One part to think about for this is that as it is looked at and designed for the future, particularly to the master transit plan, our ADA service is countywide with a contribution from Chatham County. And so as of right now, we would be looking at this service to complement what we do within our millage in the special tax district.
So one last quick question. Are you extending services to areas that they've annexed? Because, you know, I look at where like Godley Station is located, and, you know, I don't know if you've got services right offhand that go all the way out there that come into the downtown area in case somebody gets moved to that area. But again, that's why I said, if you look at the annexation patterns that have been taking place and the distances from the services that most people have, they're going to end up going outside of that traditional service area. And so I just was curious about factoring that in, or have you all factored that in also when dealing with this, as well as any of the other issues that are that will crop up as you deal with your master plan?
So from a mileage perspective, in the zonal coverage that we're looking at, mm-hmm. We're not necessarily looking at limiting the amount of miles that someone may travel within a zone. But we will probably look at whether someone's trying to cross from one zone to another. And we see that a little bit already in our paratransit service, just because with microtransit, it can be designed a little bit tighter, for especially for budget considerations, where if someone wants to get out of their neighborhood and go to the grocery store, we want to be able to design the microtransit service to perhaps go to their nearest grocery store or what would be the nearest designated CAT bus stop in their area. So for Godley Station, we have a bus stop. We have a couple bus stops right there at Bitten and Highlands, and there is a stop in front of the Godley Station school. And that would connect you with the Route 3 West Chatham.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's move on. Thank you, Ashley, for that presentation. Let's move on to the status reports. So the first one is the MTP update. The second, Wycota, thank you.
Okay, I will cover the boring part of the staff report. And then Sally and Asia will present you with the fun part, yeah. Okay, we kicked off officially kicked off the 2050 MTP update on September the 1st. But a lot of the work have already started beforehand, and so we actually kept you posted. For the goals objectives, we actually presented the draft goals last year, last October. So we are collecting, using the survey to collect data to refine the goals and objectives. And the travel demand model, the socioeconomic data, just want to report to you that the base year data, 2020 data, is already done, submitted and accepted by GDOT. So we are going to start work on the 2050 socioeconomic data. Kate Morano worked on the SE data, but Kate left MPC, so I already talked to Ms. Melanie. So we're going to find out who's going to do the horizon year 2050 data development. And for the travel demand model, I did show you the first network and second network before. I got some input, and we already submitted the first and second networks to GDOT. And so that's include the projects constructed or under, started under construction between 2015 and the 2022. The third network would be including the committed project. That means the construction committed. So we will probably work on that when we have a project list for the TIP development. So we know which construction projects, but we already started to compile that list. And for the travel demand model check, Asia was checking the links on the functional classifications and number of lanes. And so we finished Bryan County and Effingham County. We have already submitted that to GDOT. So we will work on Effingham County, Chatham County. So those would be the ones. And then the several studies ongoing, as you know, the freight transportation plan is ongoing. US 80 corridor study is ongoing. And then the urban flooding model study, that one is ongoing. Non-motorized transportation plan update is ongoing. And so all of those, and the CAD also has master plan that kicked off, and then transit development plan kicked off. So all of those will feed into the 2050 MTP. Chatham County probably will start the 25 corridor study 204 since we got the Y230 money now. So you probably have that and President Street. So all of that will feed into the study. So hopefully we will have a like big matrix to compile to see which recommendations is from which study. And so now I would just focus on the fun stuff. I've been tasked with Sally to do the public involvement coordination. And then Asia is in charge of the survey, and they will present to you the fun activities.
Hello again. I'm Sally Helm. This is Asia Herndon again. And I'll present just the public engagement part of it. You want to go ahead and pull that up of the MTP. So like some of you heard this morning at our EDFEC meeting, we've started our first round of public meetings. We've had several very busy schedule going. We've met First African Baptist Church. We've met, we've had virtual meetings day and evening to hit people. We've had city council meetings. Les was good enough to work us in with the Richmond Hill City Council. Teresa helped us with the Effingham City Council. We've went out to Garden City at their city council. You'll be speaking at the Rincon. We're going as far as Rincon City Council next week. And so we've hit several of the city councils. We've hit Edgemere, Sackville Community Center. We've done a lot of neighborhood communities of their meetings to try to reach everybody. Liberty City, Coastal Indicators of Georgia, Woodville Community, First Presbyterian Church, that's where we hosted. So we've done a couple of that we've actually hosted to bring people in. The First Baptist African Church allowed us as well as the First Presbyterian. So the Garden City City Hall, Ashley allowed us to come in yesterday, a couple days ago at the CATS governance meeting so that we could hit all of the chairs of their boards and committees to present there. Asia presented and did really well. Just yesterday, WICOTA went out to Savannah Arts and had great response from that so that we could hit. When we were looking at our social media outreach and looking at our surveys that Asia will go over shortly, we focused and we were looking at, after looking at the participation, we kind of looked to see where the gaps were in our coverage. And looking into the gaps there, we noticed that there was a lack of participation with our younger population, our older, the lower income, the elderly, and the disabled. So that's kind of what we're trying to really target and hit. We hit covered some of it already, but we have coming up with LIFE to help with the elderly and the disabled that's coming up soon. CAT Connect. We're doing a pop-up this Saturday at Hall Park at the Fall Festival for the public that's put out there on social media and everything for everybody to come. And then the next Saturday, we'll be participating with the city of Savannah for 100% Savannah. We have started our Instagram and our Facebook, which has been very successful for our social media outreach. We have, as I said earlier this morning, we have close to 100 followers on Instagram, which is kind of impressive with about 30 days going in. Facebook, we've reached over 3,300 people. And then Jessie this morning from CETA, I've already emailed her our social media contacts and stuff. Asia, you pull that up so you can see where we're, I think it was 28 and 29, to reach even more because she had such a wide variety of contacts there to get out. And I appreciate everybody that filled out the surveys and participated. We have a QR code that was made, which we seem to be getting a lot more hits on that when we reach these people and go to these public meetings. WICOTA had great success yesterday. I think the younger kids like to just pull up their phone and hit those QR codes. So here's our QR code. We have for our local news, WTOC featured us for the MTP in their local news. CAT social media was kind enough to share the city of Savannah. We've been on their website, Chatham County's. We've been featured in Pooler's community website and the Savannah Agenda, as well as Port Wentworth has featured us on their social media as well. So we're trying to hit everybody, hit focus on our EJ communities and just get everybody incorporated and everybody involved. For the upcoming The Whole Park, I shared this morning, we just have some cute little coloring pages that we're trying to get our younger kids involved to bring in that relate to the 2050 MTP. And when they come in, hopefully then we can get their parents to fill out our surveys. And it's kind of a trap, but don't tell them. So that's kind of what we have going on just as far as our first round. But the girls have worked really, really hard round the clock because almost every day they're presenting something to somebody. So that's it for our public outreach. Asia.
Thank you, Sally. And I'll be presenting on the survey that we have going. So we have a few MTP related surveys that are ongoing. But today I'll be presenting not the map survey, but just the kind of regular written survey. So it went live on September 1st, and we have received 371 responses as of today. The survey is also available in four languages. So we have it in English, Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese. And we have gotten responses on some of those translated surveys, which is really great. And the topics include roadways, bicycles, pedestrians, public transport, equity, and resilience. And just to give you an idea of the basic structure of the survey, we were essentially asking people to choose their top three objectives for transportation in the Savannah area. So what we found was really important was representation. It is a hard task to get a representative sample of any area or when doing public outreach or doing any type of public research, but we still want to try to get as closely to a representative sample of the area as possible. These are some of the zip codes that we are getting the most responses from. So if you don't see your zip code here, please definitely send the survey out. Again, it is still open, so spread it as far as you can so we can get as much input from as many different areas as possible. And then we just wanted to show who has been taking the survey. So the majority of people who have taken the survey do own a personal vehicle, which wasn't really a surprise since that's how it is for much of the country. But we definitely want more input from people that walk or bike just because Savannah and the Savannah area is one of those areas that has some of the most pedestrian activity and biking in the state of Georgia. And then we also wanted to see more racial diversity in our responses because the Savannah area is racially diverse. In terms of age group, we're seeing that people that are middle-aged are more likely to take this survey. But again, Wicota went out to a local high school, and we're finally getting more input from those that are 16 to 29. And then we also got someone that was under 16 that took the survey, which is really great because, again, this is a long-term plan that's planning between the years of 2025. To 2050. So we definitely want young people to have a say in their future. And then we're also seeing that the majority of people who have taken the survey have a household income of $100,000 or more. And very few people that make less than $25,000 have taken the survey. So we find it really important to for people who make a low income to take the survey as well, just because the Savannah area does have a pretty high poverty rate. And so we feel it's necessary for people that experience poverty to also have a say in their transportation system. So the soft deadline was October 31st, but we have decided to extend the survey into November just to give more people the opportunity to have a say in their transportation future. And so now we're just going to go over some of the highlights from what we've seen so far in our survey responses. So in general, respondents want to maintain and repair our roadways, infrastructure, and facilities. So this result was not super surprising that people want roads to be repaired. And I'm just showing that the majority of people want to maintain and improve roadways. Despite the fact that the majority of people who have taken the survey own their own vehicle, there was still significant interest in a local rail service and public transportation. And I'm just showing where they stack up against some of the other answer choices that we had on the survey. And then most respondents wanted bike lanes that are protected by a barrier or greenways that support multiple modes of non-motorized transportation. And so we also thought that result was interesting just because a lot of the bike lanes in the Savannah area are not necessarily protected by a barrier. So maybe that gives us an idea of how we should build them in the future. 67% of respondents prioritize this resilience objective, which is to increase green and nature-based infrastructure and transportation projects to reduce flooding and heat stress and improve the health of the environment. And 74% of respondents prioritize this equity objective, which is to identify and target high-need population areas where transit investment should be prioritized. And in the entire survey, this equity objective was the most popular one out of all of the questions and objective selections. And that's just the end of the public survey piece. And I'll just go just to our contact information. All of the information on the surveys in each language are on this website. And so if you know any organization or anyone that may be interested in it, share this presentation or share this link or even share the QR code. And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you, Asia. Does anyone have any comments or questions?
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. You know, the income less than 25,000. How does that relate to the young people that are taking the survey who may not be employed?
So that
the correlation.
I can't say for sure that that is a correlation just because so few young people have taken it. It really wasn't until yesterday that we had a higher response of younger people. So if I were to just guess, I would say that the few amount of people that were in poverty that have taken the survey were adults that took it.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, I said it this morning during the economic development meeting, but I'd like to, I think it bears repeating, y'all have done a tremendous job on the public outreach and on the surveys, and it's obvious. And so thank you, and very much kudos to you.
Thank you so much.
I echo that completely, but I do have one question about the low income. I'm just wondering, is there any chance that might be the surveys online, right? I mean, is it possible that that's got to do with access to computers?
That's probably definitely a factor within it.
Any other way we can get written surveys or?
I was just going to say, thanks for the comments for staff. I think they've worked very hard to make sure that we've done all that's possible to reach everyone. We've had this discussion dealing with equity. We have made copies of the surveys to take to some of the community centers. I've had a lot of discussion with the city of Savannah about that because they've got a lot of community centers out there. And I think that we will just follow up more. And I'll ask the staff to go out to a couple of them to get them to fill out the application there. A lot of them have computers in the community center, so by having one of the people that run it go over it, if we go out to do a presentation there, they can sit and fill out the application there. But we are running into a lot of folks. The only internet they've got in a lot of cases is just on their phone. But we do need to get that number beefed up, and that's one of the goals.
I would just add something because we do bring the paper copies because we have done presentations to the EJ neighborhoods.
But the thing is that we are only allotted like 15 minutes, 10 minutes to give the presentation, and they have a lot of agendas to cover. So they probably don't have time to return that on the spot to us. So and then also our survey doesn't have like postage paid. So they probably you can leave them there, but they have to pay to mail them back. So what do we want to do probably next week? I think in 2 weeks we go to the 100% Savannah. That is also in the EJ area. So we will bring some paper copies and then so we will be there stay so that people can return the survey right on the spot.
And we have tablets too.
We have tablets too, yes.
Too, that we wanted to make sure that we did. And for the folks, if you're going to the community centers, we just need to make sure that the directors of those centers are picking up the surveys and that we go pick them up after they gather them in the community.
Yeah, we actually brought the tablets to the neighborhood meetings, but they were working on their own other agenda items, so they didn't have time to just fill up the service. But when we go to the pop-up events, probably we will just bring the tablets and the paper copies as well.
And I'll make arrangements for there to just be a meeting only for this, because it's really important, especially in dealing with the elderly in these communities, because they really utilize public transportation and need it. So I'll get with you and make some additional arrangements with regards to having a sole meeting just for this purpose to get their input.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you all again for putting in so much time on the evenings and weekends. We appreciate it, and I know that's a lot.
Thank you.
All right. So next item on the agenda is the freight plan update.
The freight plan update is really going pretty well. So I just actually I can probably just come over here to show you. We have posted every draft deliverable to the freight plan website, and then also the presentation files over here. So if you go to the Quorum PO's freight plan update website, you can see the presentation files because the consultant did an excellent job. And then he made a presentation at this morning's FAQ. So I was very, very impressed because I'm a technical person myself. So I really love the deliverables they have done. So far they have delivered existing and future freight goods movement assessment and freight performance measures and regional freight profile and assessment, truck parking inventory and truck restrictions. And they already collected data and showed some results in the presentation on the freight resiliency. In the next step, they will do the freight needs assessment and the forecasting of future freight growth and the freight congestion bottlenecks. So pretty soon we will have more deliverables. So if you're interested in looking over these technical documents, and they are all posted online, I just want to let you know they're very, very technical, but they're very thorough, very, very comprehensive. And we might use a lot of this information for our 2050 MTP update. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Waikota. Yeah, and I was there listening to that this morning. It was very interesting, a lot of good information. So let's see. So the next update is on the status report. I'm sorry, is on the urban flooding model. Jasmine, thank you.
Hello again.
Jasmine, do you have a full presentation on this?
Yeah, so actually we have the consultants who will be presenting on this on today. UGA will be presenting, but before, just wanted to kind of share, as you all know, UGA is the consulting team on this project. Just for other updates, they have submitted a project management plan as one of the deliverables on this project. And we also have narrowed down our steering committee and stakeholder list as well. So Matt, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, everyone hear me just fine?
Yes.
Okay.
Matt. And can we do a quick sound check for Scott Pippen and Felix that are also here that are going to help me present?
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah.
How long? Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me?
In the interest of time, we're just asking that you keep it fairly brief, if you would, please.
Yes. Are you ready for me to begin?
Yes.
Okay. So the purpose of us presenting today is to give a brief overview of the project and where we plan to go. And we'll be back to present, and we'll be in person. I think we're scheduled for February next year to give an additional update. So stay tuned for that. So next slide, please. So this is a general outline. In terms of time, I'll just go ahead and skip this slide. This is the overall team. So it's I have Felix and Scott with me today to help present, but we also have Clark Alexander from the Skidaway Institute of Oceanography, Brian Bledsoe from UGA, Shauna Jones from the Carl Vinson Institute of Government at UGA, and then a consulting firm, GMC, and Ed D. Tommaso is leading that effort with them. So that's the overall team. Next slide, please. So the general goal is to work towards this project prioritization tool in order to assist with different planning efforts that you all may have with the MPC. And this process will be, and our process will involve some flood modeling, both coastal surge and some stormwater modeling, and overlay that with a roadmap that has been updated with the latest topography data in order to have this road vulnerability assessment tool that will then feed in also to the project prioritization tool. Next slide, please. And so with these assessments, we're going to be focusing on really three major themes. One is looking at social vulnerability and critical infrastructure data, as well as emergency services routes, focusing on those, as well as an evaluation portion where we'll look at sea level rise, coastal flooding, and the combined effects of both coastal and heavy rainfall effects. And Felix will talk about that in a few minutes, as well as looking at different roadway classifications, which blend into number one above that I just mentioned. And then thirdly is looking at financial stewardship, and then how do we prioritize projects? So the tools that we'll develop as part of this project will help further assessments in order to look at different projects and be able to prioritize them based on the social vulnerability and critical infrastructure and then the major transportation routes and under different hazards like sea level rise and coastal flooding and rainfall events. Next slide. So I just wanted to give an idea. So this is the new elevation map. It has a horizontal resolution of 1.5 feet. So very high resolution, if I may say. There's billions of points here. This is hot off the press and released as of just a few months ago. So a big part of our project will be to do flood modeling using this new elevation data set, as well as taking the existing centerline roadways and getting those centerline elevations from this new high resolution topographic data set. So that's one big part of this project that we're working on currently. Next slide, please. And I have a PowerPoint that has this as an animation. I wish this would work in a PDF, but I don't know how to do that. But this would be an animation of the flooding from Hurricane Matthew, from a large-scale coastal hurricane storm surge flood. And so these are the types of model results that we'll be producing that we will then overlay with the road centerline network that has its elevations from the new topography data set. And so the next slide shows just a very brief example of what this would look like. This is just very preliminary, just to give you an idea. So here we have the flood depths above ground. Color filled is the contours. And then we have the road network here in the gray-black color. And then the road segments that have some level of flooding due to Matthew are what's highlighted here in the orange color. So again, we'll be looking at different conditions of coastal flooding, as well as sea level rise to produce data sets like this. And then these data sets will then be hosted through an Esri online platform where you can zoom around and click different road segments, and then there would be specific attributes associated with those road segments. So I think next slide, I'm going to hand it over to Scott Pippen.
Thanks, Matt. So Matt talked about some of the data products that we're going to integrate, but then in crafting a tool to be actually useful for your community, we're going to work primarily with this group, the TCC, as a steering committee to help us make the decisions and the design choices to make sure that this is a tool that serves your purposes and meets your needs. But in the meantime, we'll also be working with a diverse group of stakeholders, different people who have different perspectives on what this tool should do and the services that it should provide. And so we'll be working with them with a series of meetings and interviews. And then we'll also be engaging with the general public for the more broad thoughts about what we can do and things that we need to consider in developing this tool. So next slide, please. And so that process looks like this is our first meeting with y'all introducing this process and this project. And then at that meeting in February, once we've completed some of the preliminary data collection and development, we will hopefully be meeting with a group of stakeholders from various organizations that I mentioned before, that we'll talk a bit about in a second, to get their input and identify how we should follow up with them and collect additional data and identify other resources that need to be incorporated into this tool. Then we'll continue that process and have those further conversations, as well as have those meetings with the general community, and then circle back with this group in August of next year to present the project deliverables and the results of this effort. So next slide, please. And so this is a list of the invitees to that initial stakeholder group meeting. So we'll present this project to them and present where we are, and then figure out what where there are gaps and what we're missing, and how best to plug those holes and make sure that this is a useful tool for broad segments of the community and all the people who will be interested in using it. If there are other thoughts and people we need to include, please let us know. So now I'll pass it off to go ahead to the next slide, please, and I'll pass it off to Felix to talk about the stormwater component.
Thanks, Scott. So as some of you may know, we're planning to use the stormwater management model as our hydrologic model. Why we select this model? Well, it has a quiet history behind of it. You know, it's a very good hydrologic model that is capable of incorporating the stormwater system, right? And that's potentially what we plan to do in this one. Here you have a simplified sketch, right? For those who are not very familiar with the SWIM model, you know, it represents everything in terms of basins, pipes, and outfall, right? So our plan is to then use this software to take into account different rainfall scenarios and see how that will result in terms of the inundation that will happen within the pipes itself. Next slide, please. So what we want to do with the SWIM model, right? So we want to answer two main questions, right? And the first of it will be how the sea level rise itself will creep upward through the stormwater system, right? So we have some educated guess, right, that as the sea level rise starts increasing, you know, our outfall that are in the Savannah River, they could be more prone to get more inundated or backwater effects due to the stormwater levels. So we want to assist this by, for example, you saw on the top right corner image, using some tidal conditions at Fort Pulaski with and without sea level rise. So we plan to simulate many simulations of the SWIM model with the different sea level rise scenarios and see how that affects the stormwater drainage system. Also, we want to investigate how the future land use land cover could affect that runoff through the basin of Savannah. So what we have on the lower image, we have the land use land cover for the 2022 year versus the 2100 year. And you definitely see, you know, on top of your eyes, a lot of more red, which means more urbanized sections. So we want to take into account all those complexities and prepare the MPC for the future conditions. Next slide, please. So as part of this efforts, our first month or so of tasks have been development data collection. We have gathered an extremely amount of data regarding the stormwater infrastructure for the Chatham County itself and also for the city of Savannah. We have multiple outfall locations, green infrastructure, canal, ditches, pipes, reservoirs, you name it. We have everything required from the stormwater system. We also have the road center line that Matt already showed briefly. And we also have the stormwater drainage basin. You know, and to finalize the inputs that we need, we have also land use, land cover for current and future predictions, and also some soil types. So therefore, we have everything required to start assembling this SWIM model and then be moving forward with our PMP. Next slide, and I will pass this to Matt. I think it's the closing.
Yeah. So thanks all, and hopefully we met our time allocation there. If we have time for questions, I'm happy to answer some, or you can email me, and I'm happy to talk with you offline.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions? All right, thank you all.
Thank you for that presentation, I appreciate that. The next item is the non-motorized transportation plan update.
Hello again. In the interest of time, I will try to be brief. Okay, so the Core MPO is in the process of updating its non-motorized transportation plan and thoroughfare plan. So we have a lot of plan updates going on right now. And just for a short status update, the non-motorized transportation plan and thoroughfare plan update steering committee met on September 15th via Zoom. And during this meeting, committee members identified several roads and areas that should be added to the non-motorized transportation plan. So some of these roads include Middle Ground Road, streets that are around some of the local schools, Abercorn Street, Montgomery Crossroads, Cottonvale Road, and Dutchtown Road. In addition to identifying those roads, staff will also continue to compile a list of problem and opportunity areas to add to the plan, and we'll also use data such as pedestrian and bike accident data from New Metric, population data from the American Community Survey, and infrastructure from GIS to create a comprehensive assessment of the non-motorized infrastructure environment for the Core MPO / Savannah area. Additionally, once a larger list of projects and problem areas is curated, staff will seek additional public input to better prioritize those projects. And again, this project or these plans are projected to be adopted in June of next year. And that's the end of the status update.
Thank you, Asia. Does anyone have any questions? When is the next committee meeting?
I'm still trying to figure out when to schedule the next one. Hopefully soon, but with the holidays coming up, it might be a little bit tricky. But I'll try to, I'll get back to you as soon as possible when I have a better date.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, okay. State Route US 80 project status report. Leon, are you on? Are you doing that one? Okay, well, maybe that's just in there for information then.
The report is attached to the agenda, actually, because Leon lost his father. So he was away for some time. So actually, the consultant provided this information, the status report. So it's attached.
All right. Thank you. That's good. Hopefully everybody gets a chance to look at that. Sorry, I'm just looking to see what's next. Is that the PL fund?
Yeah.
Discretionary PL funds?
Yeah, we actually submitted application because last time, I just want to follow up with you on this. Because we did submit the PL discretionary funds application for three projects, a 16 exit ramp removal and US 17 corridor study and President Street, railroad crossing feasibility study. But unfortunately, they were all denied by the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee, and here's the reason that I don't think some of the reasons really stand up, but fortunately, we got the Y2 study funds for the US 17 corridor study, President Street. So you can as soon as we program that into the TIP, and then the funds get authorized, you can do the RFP. The city's I-16X ramp removal study, actually the city is applying for the Reconnecting Communities Grant, and the core MPO did provide a letter of support. So hopefully we will get that as well. Another thing that I forgot to mention during the Y230 discussion is, Y3 discussion is, because Chatham County actually submitted the application for the statewide Y3 money. So that announcement will be made in November. So because the state actually have more money than us. So if Chatham County gets that money, that can release some of the money for some other projects in our area as well.
Okay, thank you, Waiko. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay, we'll move on to the information reports. Start with GDOT. If you want to just kind of hit the highlights on this, that'd be great.
Katie, is it Katie on?
Hey.
Okay.
Okay, the Port Wentworth Bridge replacement over Savannah River and Middle River on State Route 25. Final plan design is ongoing. Number three, the safety improvement project on the State Route 204 from 21 to Rio Road. Number four, the safety improvements on I-16 at Chatham Parkway holding for lit in June 23 is allowing for the bridge jacking project completion. Five and six, the widening bridge replacement on State Route 404 from northeast to Savannah Harbor to Back River. Concepts submission is anticipated at the end of this month. The bridge replacement at Bull River continues toward environmental dock approval. The bridge replacement over Lazaretto Creek is working toward right-of-way authorization. State Route 26 from I-516 to Victory Drive is working toward final plan submission. Still has one railroad parcel outstanding. State Route 30 roundabout at Hodgeville Road held its kickoff meeting in September, and concept is underway. As for the active projects, they're all ongoing and progressing. There you go. And since this report, 6328, yeah, okay, I was just making sure that this report had a begin date, that it was, it had started. So are there any questions?
Thank you, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Chatham County. Hopefully all you guys were able to look at this handout. Let's see. Girard Avenue, hopefully we're having a public information open house 2 weeks from today. Is Christy still on? Christy Lovett? No. Okay. All right. Just trying to confirm that we've got GDOT approval for that, since we're 2 weeks away. But so that should be held at the Liberty City Center, November 3rd from 4 to 6 p.m. Other than that, Little Neck Road project is underway. The right-of-way acquisition is underway, so we're moving forward on that. And I got word that the wall tower slope stabilization, that they're wrapping up right-of-way acquisition on that, so I should be able to get started with construction. Hopefully, if we can get some good bid prices, that should start early next year. And I guess that's it for right now. Robert McCorkle Trail upgrades are complete. Any questions about any of those or any other projects that's listed? Okay, thank you. Michelle, City of Savannah.
Ours is brief. Right-of-way clearing is complete along the DeLesseps Avenue project, and utility relocation should begin imminently. Our traffic control center is currently in procurement process, and actually I heard a conference call earlier today in between the last meeting and this one, so they're very much working on it. Project Duran right-of-way is ongoing. GDOT has reviewed and provided feedback for the FHWA comments for the FEIS and RD. And we're working on property acquisition for the Truman Linear Trail Phase 2B.
Great, thank you. Chatham Area Transit. Ashley.
Chatham Area Transit MPO status update for October. Our construction IFB for the ferry, new ferry vessel construction closed at the beginning of October and currently is under evaluation. Our paratransit vehicle order is continued to be delayed with a chassis shortage and supply chain. Our Clever Devices is in phase 9 of 9 at a 95% completion rate. All fixed route vehicles have CAT AVL updates for the Clever Device modules, and we are currently working on the technology update through the fall modification service change. We have continued coordination with the FTA on grant execution for the ferry maintenance facility and ferry dock on River Street. Our master transit plan and implementation strategies, we just had our first kickoff special event October 15th, this past Saturday. We had a great turnout, including by MPO staff, and it was located at Jenkins High School, where there were several other student events happening at the same time concurrently.
Car washing.
Yes, so there were the SATs testing was going on, as well as I would say they were doing a pretty good job. They had a car wash going as well. So everybody was allowed to roll through, and then they could come over to check out CAT at the same time. One of our electric buses was there as well. So we still have a lot of folks interested in the electric vehicles. Our transit development plan and comprehensive operations analysis is currently in a data stage where we are gathering data for short-term, mid-term, and long-term route redesign for fixed route service, as well as data analytics for other divisional modes, paratransit, microtransit, express bus, and commuter. We will be planning in the next quarter a state of affairs report as part of the TDP-COA, and a lot of the data that we're working on right now will be forthcoming.
Yeah, please share the survey results with us.
That is true. So we, as part of the TDP-COA, we have gotten a survey started, and as we work through the service change modifications that are our immediate next couple of weeks, we'll be getting our survey posted out as well.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, because we have a LEP population, Spanish-speaking LEP population, more than 5%, but we only got 6 responses for our survey. So a lot of those Hispanic population actually using public transportation, so we would like to get some input from them as well.
And that concludes the Chatham Area Transit update.
Thank you.
Thank you. Savannah Airport. I think Mark's gone, so I don't know.
Yeah, just want to let you know, because previously Savannah Airport just provided oral report, but they started to submit written reports to us as well. So we attach that to the agenda.
All right. Whoops, Low Country. Is that just mostly an attachment as well? Okay, so that's just there for information. And the last one is the TIP funding tracker. Did you get all the information y'all needed for that? Okay, well, yeah. We don't need to go over that, do we? Okay. Other public comments. Do we have anyone here that wants to make a public comment? Nope. Okay.
notices. The next TCC meeting is going to be December 8th at 2 p.m. Okay. Anything else you guys want to add, Waikota?
I added in the notice for the Thriving Community Program grant opportunity. So this is for the municipalities that was like lower income areas that can apply for this grant. So I attached the information over here just in case.
Just good information. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Any last minute comments before we go? Thank you very much, everyone, for attending, and have a wonderful day. We are adjourned.